Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of 2 Peter chapter 3, we were talking about the things to come after the judgment for both the Christian and the unsaved. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Look at verse 12 here in 2 Peter 3. He says, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Now, you say, well, that sounds like he's saying the same thing that's already been stated. But notice, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now we have a different Greek word than the one used in verse 10 and 11 for melt and dissolved. This one means a wasting away. The wasting away of nature. When there's a super atomic bomb blast, what happens afterwards? Well, there's a radioactive fallout. And think what that does to nature. Well, God is so accurate. 2,000 years ago, he describes the after effects of this type of an explosion. How can he do that? Because the Creator knows his product. He designed and he made the atom. And by the way, that's why the Word of God is God-breathed. 2 Peter 3 is not the words of Peter. They're not the words of Peter. They are the words of God. Peter just recorded them. These men, holy men of old, spake as the Holy Spirit moved them. They recorded the words of God without error, and God preserves them. Now, the unsaved world has all these things to look forward to. But look at the saved. Oh, we can go back to verse 13 here, 2 Peter chapter 3, and just say, hallelujah. Because nevertheless, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Now, the word promise is defined as a stated or proclaimed promise. Assurance. God Almighty is on record with this promise to all the saved, that we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4 tells us a little bit about that place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, what a great promise, what a great blessing. That is, the former things are passed away. Oh, listen, just like that Alka-Seltzer, I can't wait till we're changed. Changed from what we are, changed from the creature that I am, changed into his likeness. What a blessed day that is. A new heaven and a new earth. By the way, the word new is defined as qualitatively new. It is contrasted to numerically new. Basically, what that means is We are renewed. Again, using the analogy of the Alka-Seltzer, we are not forever destroyed, but we are forever changed. And so this heaven and earth that we now know is not done away with completely. It's renewed. It's changed. It's purified. You see, our God, Hebrews 12:29 says, is a consuming fire. And he takes away the dross. He refines the gold. Oh, what a blessed time that is. Crippled children who are saved now are completely whole in heaven. In heaven, all things are changed. There's no cancer. There's no Alzheimer's. There's no AIDS. Changed. But those things will continue in hell. Oh, the rich man said that he was tormented in that flame. He desired water. He desired food. He desired the things that he could no longer have. But heaven is so much better. He says, the last three words there of verse 13 of 2 Peter 3, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's no gossip. There's no hatred. And best of all, with heaven, there's no end, and no end to the righteousness of God. But the Christian told of the judgment on the world finds this passage applied to him. Now, if this is the judgment on the world, why is it applied to us? Because the question is asked in verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all matter of holy conversation and godliness? Wow. Knowing that this is going to happen, what manner of person ought ye to be? The Christian who knows what God has in store for this world is a villain if he lives only for the pleasures of this world and shares not the saving gospel of Christ. Every Christian, whether he sits in a pew or anywhere else, needs to understand they are not here to sit in judgment of a preacher or of other Christians. That is God's job. Now, a Christian does need to be discerning between the spirit of truth and the error and rebuke error. We also need to understand that we are here, especially when we're in God's house, to learn more of His Word and then to get the gospel out to the world. Now, what are you doing to that end? How well are you applying yourself to learning more about Jesus, to learning more about His Word, and to getting out the gospel in your community as well as around the world? Now, notice there, God requires holiness and godliness. Remember, the word conversation here refers to lifestyle. In other words, your day-to-day life, how you live it. You see, you're not just to be godly and holy in church on Sunday and Wednesday. You're to be godly and holy every day of your life. Every day of your life should be marked by standards. You know, a lot of Christians say, hey, you got to change, you got to change. And I agree with that. We need to be more holy today than we were 1 year ago. And if the Lord allows us to live another year, we should even be more holy then than we are now. We ought to be more godly, godlike, that is. We ought to have stronger and higher standards than we had just a year ago. You see, we need to change. Now, often the world talks about change. They're talking about being more like the world. We've got to adopt its music. We've got to give them what they want. Isn't it interesting they call it worship, but they find out what man wants? I'm not anthropological. I don't want to worship man or what man wants. I want to worship God. So rather than see what man wants, we need to see what God wants. And God wants holiness. He wants righteousness. He wants justness. And He wants reverence. And God looks for it in our everyday life. Now, holy is to be set apart for God, while godliness is God-like. God is the Spirit, Jesus said. So this verse then is giving us both inward and outward what our life is to be. A holy lifestyle is seen by man. Our dress, our speech, our entertainment. Isn't it interesting? We call ourselves Christians and we must be entertained by adultery, near nudity, filthy language, characters drinking alcohol, and other things via the TV, and the things that make us laugh go against that holiness and righteousness. Man can only see our dress, our speech, what entertains us, our character, our work habits. How good is our word? Is your word your bond? Our endurance in righteousness, our faithfulness to God's house, to God's word, to God's work, to have daily devotions and to meditate in His word, the manner in which we conduct ourselves at home, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You see, all of these things should reflect the holiness of God in us. And we should be godly. We should have that inward spirit that reflects the walk with Him. I'm going to read a series of verses here. And I want you to listen closely to them as we think about our holy and godly day-to-day life. Psalms 19, verse 10 and 11. Speaking of the words of the Lord, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Think about that. People are talking about church growth today, and they want to find out what's acceptable to men and what they want. But when the psalmist prayed, he wanted the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart to be acceptable in God's sight, whether it was in man's or not. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. And how we serve God? Now notice these next words. Acceptably, with reverence, and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.